This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know that one friend who always finds the best travel deals, picks the right cards, and somehow ends up in first class for the price of economy? Smart Travel is like that friend, but in podcast form. They cover all things travel finance, like how to get real value from points and not just a tiny reward at checkout, the smartest ways to book flights without playing the guess the cheapest day game, and how to avoid paying for upgrades you won't use. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Hello and welcome to this episode, which is day 4 in Bhutan. And this is a mix of a classic solo episode with me speaking into the mic as I am now, and an immersive episode where I throw in some sounds too. This episode for this day in Bhutan is concentrating on a couple of cool activities I did whilst I was there. Welcome to the Winging It Travel Podcast, your weekly ticket to the world, dropping every Monday and hosted by me, James Hammond, proudly part of the Voyascape Network. This is a travel podcast that throws out the itinerary and dives straight into the raw, real, an unpredictable essence of global exploration, chasing moments over milestones, those spontaneous encounters, immersive sounds, and unforgettable stories. Whether I'm hiking up volcanoes in Guatemala or camping under the stars in British Columbia. I've met incredible people, seen breathtaking places, and collected unforgettable stories. I now get to share them with you alongside some of the most diverse and well-traveled guests from around the world. Expect engaging conversations that bring fresh perspectives and inspiring travel tales. There are also raw, reflective solo episodes where I share personal insights, practical tips, and honest stories from the road. This is a podcast for travelers, dreamers, backpackers, and anyone who's ever thought, "What if I just went for it and traveled?" If you're looking for stories to tell, tips to share, and experiences to inspire, then you're in the right place. There's so much travel content coming your way, it might just spark that trip you've been dreaming about for years. You can find Winging It and more fantastic travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com. The link is in the show notes. Let's go and explore the world. So I got dressed up in the morning in a go, a traditional Bhutanese outfit, and headed to a festival before having lunch and then walking through some traditional villages to a temple with a lookout point over the Punaka Valley before ending up at a hotel on top of a hill overlooking the Punaka Zong. And my word, what a day this was. So I'll kick off with the go. Now, a traditional go is something that the Bhutanese wear on a day-to-day basis for formal occasions. Could be hosting a guest on their tour company, could be going for a meeting, a breakfast, etc. So I was tasked with getting dressed in a go, and the driver, who I call God in my group, helped me get dressed in the go. Now, this thing is a bit like a kilt, if you think of a Scottish kilt, but it's not just the bottom down, it's also from the top to the bottom. So it's a big, almost like a dressing gown, wrapped quite tightly around my midriff, no pockets. So this is like a knee-length robe. It's like wrapped around the body and folded inwards, a bit like a dressing gown, and then secured at the waist with a woven belt called a kera. So it's like a mix between a gown and a kilt. And when it's tied properly, it does create like a large pouch at the front. So it's quite practical because you can put your wallet and your phone in there. And it's very iconic in the Bhutanese society because anything that's slightly formal, they wear it day to day. So my guides wore it every day because they're hosting me as part of their tour group. The only times I saw my guides not wear a go was at the homestay in someone's home. That's when they went a bit casual. But it's used to carry everything from money to phones to documents and occasionally snacks. Very practical and iconic. So some key details about a go is usually made from hand-woven fabric with bold patterns and rich colours. Mine was a bit like a kilt-like pattern. And the length and fabric can signal formality. There's different colours for different types of people in society. You wear long black socks with it and traditional shoes. I just wore my normal shoes, but I did have long black thin socks. And it's required, as I said earlier, for government offices, schools, temples, work, official events, etc. in Bhutan. But it represents Bhutanese identity, equality, cultural pride, your status in society. So you'll see different types of colours of goes when you're in Bhutan. So I got dressed up, got ready for the day, and headed off to a festival. Now, on my itinerary, one of the things I really wanted to do was go to a Beauty Things festival. And luckily, for the time of year I went, which was in December, there is the Druk Wangyal Festival, which is one of Bhutan's most visually striking and meaningful celebrations. And it's held every year at the Dochela Pass in the Himalayas, about 3,100 meters above sea level. And what's awesome about this day is it's clear skies, the Himalayas in the background, snow-capped mountains. You can see the highest unclimbed mountain in Bhutan. It was created in 2011 at this location. It's held every year to honor the majesty, the fourth king, and to celebrate Bhutan's peace, stability, and unity, particularly following the successful military operation that restored peace in southern Bhutan in the early 2000s. So I'm not sure what to expect, but in my mind, I'm thinking everyone's dressed in a go. There's going to be lots of color, lots of music, lots of chanting, unreal views of the background because there's going to be snow-capped mountains, lots of flags, and also maybe, potentially, some famous people from the Bhutanese society. But I know there'll be a lot of masks because Bhutan is known for its masks and its dancing and its festivals. So I'm expecting very colorful masks. I'm expecting to see the Royal Bhutan Army because it's a specifically dedicated festival to the army and the armed forces. Vibrant costumes, the backdrop. But unlike other festivals that you might research for Bhutan, this isn't rooted in ancient religious rituals. This is more patriotic and reflective on Bhutan's journey as a nation whilst honoring its deep cultural roots. So I was really excited to get there. We had a journey after breakfast in the van and we arrived. So here is the festival as I saw it through my own eyes when I was there for a couple of hours. I'm at the Dochela Pass. Stunning views here, clear sky. And Bhutan actually has the highest unclimbed mountain in the world. And I'm actually at the festival here. There's a festival going on today, which is one of Bhutan's most iconic things to see and do. I'm really excited for that. It's the Royal Military Festival. So I'm going to go up to that in a minute. But first, I'm going to take a look at the Himalayan range. And then I'm going to walk around, get some photos, get some videos. And gosh, stunning views this morning. My word. This is so cool. Right, let's have a little look.
There's the festival, which is around 2 to 3 minutes of walk from here.
Yeah.
From this park. And it was started back in the year of around 2011.
Yeah, yeah.
But they are against their government.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. This is the Druk Wangyal Sichu Festival. Look at this. Wowzers, look at the colours. Himalayas in the background. Very busy, very popular. There's a lot of dancers going on. This defines culture. Oh, what a moment. So cool. This is a parade and a festival to commemorate the military. In 2003, there was some insurgency from India in the south, which was crushed and stopped within 3 days from their army and military. Some of them did die, actually. But the fourth king, so now king's father, went to war with the army to sort that out. And that's why he started this festival to commemorate those guys who fought for the country. And here we are paying respects. Lots of tourists here as well, checking it out, which is good to see, paying respects. Of course, lots of locals as well. Go around? Yeah, possible? Yeah. Sure, sure. Okay, yeah. You can be here?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'll walk around. Can I go up here as well to the left?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, I see. Yeah. That's cool. I can go around the right hand side.
You can
Yeah. So you can walk around there to that place? Okay. Ah, okay. Yes, agreed. Agreed. Yeah. The flags, the dancers. It's been an awesome time so far. What a cool event. You have to go to a festival in Bhutan. It's a must. So when you plan your trip, look at the calendar. There's plenty throughout the year. And I got lucky with this one with my timings. So I booked my flights first, then booked my trip. But there's more to come. Oh, loving the background. Look at that. Oh. Speaker of the National Assembly. There he is. Doing the rounds, some TV about. It's pretty cool, very popular. It's amazing. A fantastic event, really enjoyed myself. And then it's time for lunch and heading deeper into the Punaka Valley, because the Dochela Pass is almost like a high point here. You go over, you go up a bit more, and then down into Punaka Valley. And the first thing I realized on this trip and on this journey is I don't do well in the back of a van when it's going up mountain passes or down and it's windy corners and a fair pace from the van. So I had to ask God to stop the van once just to take some breath and sit in the front because I was getting a bit queasy. But we arrived at lunch. I managed to get through that, have a can of Coke and be ready for the next activity, which was to walk from lunch towards Chimmi Lakhang Temple, which is often called the Fertility Temple, and it's one of Bhutan's most fascinating and misunderstood sacred sites. It actually sits on a hilltop, but also the lunch stop was quite high up. So what we're going to do is we're going to walk from the lunch stop down into some villages, get an idea of traditional village life, and then walk up to the temple. So off we went, down to the villages. There's two villages down here. One is called Sopsokka Village, and the other is called Teo Promhu Village, and they are traditional Bhutanese villages. And if you're visiting this area, you probably would stay here. So I'm going to walk down through rice paddies, get a real sense of the Bhutanese villages. And as I was walking through, the classic prayer flags flickering in the wind was in the distance. And we got to see locals playing in the fields. They have restaurants and shops, but all the buildings and shops have a penis on them. The penis is very prevalent because obviously the fertility message is going far and people actually make a pilgrimage down here to visit a temple if they're struggling to conceive a child. So it's a big thing and you're going to see it everywhere on every building. So beware of that.
The temple that we are going to visit right now, mainly associated with the Falas, is mainly associated with the Divine Madman.
Divine Madman, yeah.
Yeah. He's a Tibetan saint who visited Bhutan in a back to around 15th century. So, associated with the fertility and all. So in the summer, they do a rice cultivation over this field.
Yeah.
And in the winter, they grow some like other crops like wheat or like the mustard and all.
Mustard?
Yes.
Nice. Ah, it's nice and peaceful. Some rice paddies, there they are, yeah. But the walk was pretty cool. I mean, I was walking narrow paths down rice paddies, through homes, there's kids playing in the fields, there's prayer flags flickering in the wind on all these random little temples in the middle of nowhere. And it's all part of the experience of walking up to the temple and seeing the local community. So I rather feel like I was walking through a local area rather than a tourist site. And the temple itself is dedicated to Drukpa Khinli, who's also known as the Divine Madman, famous for using humor and shock to teach Buddhist truths and challenge social norms. The Chimni Lakang, the temple, is known for its fertility blessings, drawing couples from across Bhutan and visitors from around the world. Despite its playful reputation, the temple is actually a place of faith, protection, and compassion. It's deeply woven into the lives of the surrounding villagers. And honestly, the view of the valley into Punaka was sensational. So I do have a little bit of information from what my guide shared with me at the temple, so I'll share that now.
Right, next stop in Punaka, we're at the temple called Chimni Gokong, and this is related to the Divine Madman, or Drukpa Khinli. I've been explained that he is a bit of a ladies' man, a bit of a funny man, jokey, and his teachings do come from Tibet, but this temple behind me is in honour of him, and honestly, I mean, what a place to have it. Look at that. The views behind me there, incredible, of the valley. Punaka is a bit warmer actually. We're a bit lower in altitude, about 1500 meters. And the main thing that this temple is kind of known for is as you walk in through the village, you'll see a lot of penises on walls and on houses and stuff. That is to provide protection, to ward away the evil spirits, but also help couples with fertility. So people can come here, do a ceremony. The woman has to, I think, hold one of those and walk around the temple three times, and then hopefully that does the trick. So yeah, an interesting history. I can't believe the view. I mean, that's another stunning view. So we're now going to pop into the temple, have a look. This kind of reminds me a little bit of the Kama Sutra temple in India, which I went to many years ago, but obviously it's different, so I'm looking forward to giving it a go and seeing what it's like. But first, let's check out this view.
If you're heading to the Punaka Valley, I would add this temple in the itinerary. It's a lovely walk. Your guide will explain the relevance of the villages, and you can also stay in the village if you're looking to stay the night right deep down in the valley. But for us, that was the second activity, and now it's further on into Punaka Valley because we're going to stay at a hotel on top of a very big hill overlooking the Punaka Zong. So we traveled up the roads to the next village and into the main part of the Punaka Valley and headed to the hotel. And to end the day, it was spectacular, really, because it was an absolute nightmare to get to this hotel. The roads weren't very good, and there's a lot of waiting for cars to go past. They're doing roadworks, etc. But we finally made it to the hotel at the dusk of sunset, and we sat there with a cup of tea, admiring the views of the Punaka Zong. I'll explain more about the Punaka Zong in the next episode, but it's a main building for the royal family of Bhutan, and there's big significance for it in the society of Bhutan. But for this moment right now, it's all about getting to the hotel, dumping the bags off, having a tea, getting warm, and overlooking the Zong as it changes from daytime to nighttime. And honestly, the lights and the colors are absolutely sensational. I mean, what a view for a cup of tea. The hotel we stayed at was called Dharma Siddhi Punaka, and I would highly recommend staying here for the views. We got there, very comfortable villas that you can stay in, with heaters, so if you're there in the winter, it's got to warm the room up. Let me describe what I had in my room. My doors that opened out into the patio opened out onto the viewpoint of the Punaka Zong. I couldn't believe the view. Absolutely sensational. Plenty of rooms, and it's equipped to hold big families and also big groups of people. The tea was fantastic. The dinner was amazing. We had so many different types of dishes, and hospitality was second to none. So Dharma Siddhi Punaka is the place to go if you're organizing your Bhutan trip in Punaka. Please stay there for a night. you would absolutely love the views. And for me on this day, it was a long day, and after dinner it was pretty much an early night, but I couldn't wait to get up in the morning and see the sunrise over the Phnom Zong. What a moment, what a place. For me, this was a classic day in Bhutan. It started off with breakfast at a lovely hotel in Thimphu. I got dressed up in a local dress, headed to one of their world famous festivals, had a big lunch, got a little bit travel sick when I was going up and down in the valley to Punaka, walked through some traditional villages, spoke to local people, went to a brilliant temple with an amazing lookout point with lots of stories attached to that, and the guides giving me information all throughout the day, which is so cool. A great vibe. At this point, this is almost halfway through my journey in Bhutan. There's always a new adventure or experience after every corner. Every day, it's bam, bam, bam. Experiences, knowledge, seeing something new, learning, meeting people. It really is a truly majestic trip. And Breathe Bhutan, who are organizing this itinerary, are really putting out all the stops for the most authentic type of experiences. And I truly value that as a travel podcaster with Winging It, but also as a traveler myself. So Breathe Bhutan are absolutely awesome. Please make sure you head to the show notes and check out their website for more information about their type of tours. And to finish on this day, I got to see one of the top three things I want to see, which is the festival, great views of the Himalayas, great information, great food, great vibes, and what a day in Bhutan. Please don't forget to rate and review the podcast on the podcast app that you use. 5 stars is greatly appreciated. And if you'd like to buy me a coffee to support the podcast from a money point of view, you can buy me one for $5 if you head to buymeacoffee.com/wingingit. That is greatly appreciated too. And lastly, just share the podcast word of mouth with your friends. I've got a huge series on Bhutan for January and February. So if they're interested in traveling to Bhutan, they can check out all the episodes that's coming out for Jan and Feb. You can also head to the show notes for more information about the tour company that I collaborated with on this episode. And also thanks to Tourism Bhutan for hosting me on this trip. Really appreciated. And I'm really excited to share more with you in the next couple of episodes as I wrap up the whole trip. And I'll see you in the next episode, where I get to stay at homestay, which is also in the top three things to do for me alongside Tiger's Nest and the festival, and experience real traditional Bhutanese life. I can't wait to share that with you. And I'll see you in the next episode. And that's it for this episode on Winging It. I hope you took something from this episode, whether it sparked a new idea, offered a different perspective, or simply let you feel part of the journey. If you enjoyed it, leaving a quick rating or review on your podcast app really helps the show reach new listeners. And if you know someone who might connect with this episode, share it by word of mouth or social media. It makes a huge difference. Head to voicescape.com for more amazing travel podcasts as well. And thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode. Until then, keep winging it.
Hey guys, Aaron Miller here from Armchair Explorer, and I just wanted to let you know that our new series is out now. We've got kite skiing across Antarctica, Aboriginal storytellers, and the craziest whitewater race in the world. We're going on a bucket list hike across Italy. We're going to the fjords of Norway in search of the Northern Lights, and lots, lots more. Our goal is to take you on the trip of a lifetime every single week. You can find Armchair Explorer on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening right now, and at voicescape.com.
The New York Times named the Frommer's Travel Podcast one of the 13 best for travel. Why did they like it? Well, they said, and I quote, "With charisma and candor, Pauline Frommer discusses the charms and ongoing transformations of places near and far, whether on the islands of Hawaii or on safari in Tanzania." Pretty nice, huh? We post new podcasts weekly, talking about travel from every angle. I hope you'll tune in.